Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Bei Action gibt es immer extrem niedrige Preise. Diese Woche Wash-Up-Spülmittel 750 ml nur 88 Cent. Oder zwei Jack Parker Boxershorts aus nachhaltiger Baumwolle nur 3,68. Angebote, die richtig glücklich machen. Für noch mehr extrem günstige Preise einfach in einer Action-Filiale vorbeischauen oder in der App stöbern. Action, kleine Preise, große Freude.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Lonnie Cocantes? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. In 1992, a man named Lonnie Cocantes graduated from law school and took a job as an attorney at a law firm in Irvine, California. There, he met an administrative assistant named Mickey Kanasaki. The couple married in 1995 and lived in Ladera Ranch, California, which is just southeast of Irvine. In 1999, Lonnie was accused of having sex with a 13-year-old girl who was pretending to be an adult. Lonnie was arrested and fired from the law firm. He and his wife, Mickey, divorced in 2001. Mickey was pretty angry about Lonnie's behavior. Eventually, the police dropped the charges against Lonnie. They discovered that the alleged victim had been operating a scam, and she had also tricked a police officer. Lonnie continued to live with Mickey, but they remained divorced. In 2003, Lonnie met a public school teacher named Amy Nguyen on a dating website, and they started having a romantic relationship. Lonnie moved out of the house he shared with Mickey. In 2005, he married Amy in Las Vegas, and the couple lived together in Orange County, California. Amy had an affair, which prompted Lonnie to move out and file for divorce. This was less than 3 months after getting married. Lonnie moved back in with Mickey and tried to reconcile their differences. They attended counseling sessions together and made other efforts to prove that they were unified. Lonnie had a new will drawn up. The will named him as the executor of Mickey's estate in the event of her death. Despite the apparent improvements in the relationship, the couple was still having a lot of trouble. In January 2006, Mickey was arrested for domestic violence. She was ordered to enroll in anger management classes and to attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Mickey appeared to have difficulty regulating her intake of alcohol. Ostensibly, in an effort to repair the relationship, Lonnie came up with the idea of going on a cruise. This was out of character. Lonnie was known for being frugal and rarely went on any type of vacation. For a wealthy attorney in California, Lonnie selected an unusual cruise. It was aboard a vessel called Island Escape. This vessel was constructed in France in 1981 for $100 million. It was a cargo ship that was used to transport motor vehicles. In 1991, it was converted into a cruise ship. Island Escape was 623 feet long and had 768 cabins. The cruise was marketed as a cheap and cheerful way to see various destinations on the Mediterranean Sea. The cruise on the Island Escape started in Spain. The travel agent was surprised that Lonnie would be interested in a discount cruise that far away, and even mentioned how it wasn't fancy or luxurious by a long shot. Lonnie insisted on this particular cruise and specifically requested a room with a balcony. He also booked a room for two of his friends, who were a romantic couple, but the couple canceled at the last moment. Lonnie and Mickey would go on the cruise by themselves. The couple's journey started on May 21, 2006, when they flew from California to London and then on to Spain. They boarded Island Escape on May 23, where they were booked in cabin 9579. This cabin was outfitted with two beds. 2 days later, on May 25, the couple went on an excursion in Sicily. After this, they had dinner aboard the ship, watched a comedy show in the casino, and drank wine. They returned to their cabin at around midnight. Lonnie took an Ambien at about 1 a.m., now on May 26. He was experiencing jet lag. He said that around 4:30 a.m., he woke up and noticed that his ex-wife was missing, and a light on her side of the cabin was activated. Staff on the cruise ship searched every square inch of the vessel, but they could not find Mickey. They notified the Italian Coast Guard. The local police investigated. They did not find any evidence of a struggle in the cabin, but they thought that Lonnie could be involved anyway. Lonnie checked into a hotel in Naples, Italy, which was the next stop for the cruise ship, but he only stayed for one day. He flew back to California without telling the Italian authorities. Instead of returning to his home in Ladera Ranch, Lonnie moved in with Amy, his other ex-wife. On May 28, 2006, at about 4 p.m., the crew of a research vessel found Mickey's body floating in the Mediterranean Sea near Italy. An autopsy indicated that Mickey had bruises around her neck, on her arms, and on her right thigh. Her lungs did not contain any water. Investigators in Italy concluded that Mickey had been strangled on the ship and thrown into the water. Lonnie became an obvious suspect. The FBI investigated. A federal grand jury was convened in December 2006, but did not return an indictment. In early 2007, Lonnie sold his home in California and moved to Florida. He left Amy in the process. In October 2008, Lonnie transferred over $1.2 million from an overseas account to an account in Florida. This was money that he had inherited after Mickey died. He initially moved the money overseas, perhaps to keep it out of the reach of U.S. authorities. When Lonnie transferred the funds to Florida, this attracted the attention of the FBI. They filed a civil suit against him. Lonnie prevailed, but the Department of Justice sent documents from the case to prosecutors in Orange County, California. They investigated Lonnie for Mickey's murder. Lonnie was arrested for murder in February 2013. By this time, Lonnie had started an inflatable bounce house company in Florida. He was arrested while conducting this business. I guess Lonnie went from the bounce house to the big house. While he was awaiting trial, Lonnie allegedly tried to hire someone to kill Amy. The plan was to kill her after forcing her to sign a letter recanting her testimony in the murder case. Lonnie was charged with solicitation to commit murder. On June 15, 2020, Lonnie was convicted of murder with a special circumstance allegation of murder with financial gain. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The solicitation charges were dismissed. Now moving to my analysis. Lonnie Cocantes maintains his innocence, and many people believe him. Was Lonnie actually guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Lonnie was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Lonnie and Mickey had a contentious relationship and were divorced. She had been arrested for attacking him, and he had a history of infidelity. Lonnie had changed Mickey's will, which gave him a financial incentive to commit murder. Lonnie booked a discount cruise that was far from home. This vessel, Island Escape, was a cargo ferry converted to a cruise liner, which meant that all the rooms with balconies had a direct path to the sea. With many cruise ships, if a person traveled over a cabin balcony railing, they would slam into a lower deck and not into the water. But that was not the case for Island Escape. In addition, Island Escape did not have any surveillance cameras. It was a perfect cruise ship for murder, an anti-love boat, so to speak. On the night Mickey disappeared, the seas were calm. There was not much reason for anyone to fall off of the ship. The autopsy report indicated that Mickey died by strangulation. It seems unlikely that aquatic animals were responsible. After flying back to the United States, Lonnie immediately reunited with another ex-wife, Amy Nguyen. Amy testified against Lonnie at his trial, saying that he confessed to the murder. When in jail, Lonnie was allegedly involved in a murder-for-hire plot with Amy as the target. Moving to the exculpatory factors, If Lonnie was intent on committing murder during the cruise, why did he invite other people? Both of his friends were private investigators. One was a former police officer. Despite the unusual nature of the cruise, Mickey was excited to go. She was looking forward to it. It's not like Lonnie had to drag her onto the ship. There were over 2,000 passengers and crew aboard Island Escape. Some of them undoubtedly were impulsive and intoxicated. Perhaps one of them murdered Mickey. There were no signs of a struggle in the cabin that Lonnie and Mickey shared. They had separate beds. Therefore, it was plausible that Mickey could have woken up without bothering Lonnie. Nobody heard any type of fight or argument between the couple, and Lonnie did not have any bruises or scratches on him consistent with strangling someone. Lonnie's ex-wife, Amy Nguyen, was not a credible witness. She admitted that she lied during the federal grand jury testimony in 2006. She was offered immunity and not prosecuted for perjury. Amy claimed that she lied because Lonnie threatened her, but she could not remember the content or delivery method of any of the threats he allegedly made. It doesn't make sense that an experienced attorney like Lonnie would confess to his ex-wife. The prosecutor admitted that the case against Lonnie had severe problems. There were significant inconsistencies in the statements made by key witnesses from years ago as compared to their testimony at trial. The prosecutor indicated that she made a credibility call in determining who to believe. There is no evidence that this prosecutor had magical powers to determine who was credible and who was not. As far as the alleged murder-for-hire plot, the state did not pursue those charges, ostensibly because Lonnie was sentenced to life in prison. In reality, this case against Lonnie was not that good. It had been initiated by a jailhouse informant who claimed that Lonnie approached him about murdering Amy. A police officer then posed as a hitman and communicated by telephone with Lonnie. Lonnie never said anything about killing anyone, but the officer claimed that Lonnie was covertly referring to murder. For example, instead of saying that he wanted the hitman to kill Amy, Lonnie said it was time to take the property off the market. The police officer contended that Lonnie knew that he was not a real estate agent, therefore Lonnie must have been speaking in code. This is an interesting theory, but what if Lonnie was talking in code to disguise some other type of crime or activity? Why would it have to be murder that he was talking about? Maybe Lonnie was trying to buy drugs, hide assets, or leap back into the bounce house business. Perhaps the state was simply inflating the evidence against Lonnie, thereby deflating his dreams of being exonerated. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I think that Lonnie is guilty? I think that he is guilty in reality, but I do not think he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. There are several compelling reasons to believe that he was guilty in reality. For example, Mickey was his ex-wife, and he booked the unusual cruise, which had a murder-friendly configuration. As far as why I believe he is not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, there were many other people on that cruise ship, other than Lonnie, who could have been responsible. They all had made at least one poor decision in their lives. Namely, they ended up on Island Escape. It stands to reason that one of them could have murdered Mickey, perhaps after she stepped out of the cabin to enjoy the view or to obtain alcohol. Now moving to my final thoughts. Suspicious, atypical, and out-of-the-blue cut-rate cruise plans proposed by an ex-husband with a history of infidelity may seem like a dream come true for some people, but it's wise not to get too excited about a voyage under those circumstances. One concern on a cruise like this might be going overboard on spending. Another would be going overboard, literally.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.